We will continue here.
Now what is it you are wanting to talk about?
Parenting is up next. As a couple of our friends wanted to kind of carry mating along a little also, and as Esther and I were walking out of here, we were saying it's really hard to separate mating from sex, from parenting, from dollars, from relationships. Esther says it kind of all fits, all of it fits together in a way.
Someday you will have a seminar and entitle it My Life. Or maybe even A Life Experience.
Yes. My subtitle I've had on here was Perfect Harmony Between My Children and Me, and Me and My Parents, or Harmonizing versus Traumatizing. I had Terrorizing, and you changed it to Traumatizing, as Esther typed it out.
We are wanting to bring it more into the realm of that which most are experiencing. Only a few of you have been terrorized.
Well, I see. I've talked about from many, many years watching the world around me move in more or less a pendulum style, where I see things way out here in left field, so far out that I'm so disturbed by it, that I'm wanting things to get better, and I'll see the whole mass, all of the world, all of mankind changing to what I want, and I see it coming down, the pendulum swings down, and finally I'll see it just perfectly. I say, wow, we're finally there, but the darn thing just keeps moving, and now it's swinging off to my other direction, to where I'm uncomfortable with it going the other direction. For instance, as a child, I was really disturbed by the way adults used and handled and children. In other words, they were really overbearing, and children were like little slaves, kind of whipped around, and they weren't allowed to talk, and so on and so forth. And so I didn't like where the pendulum was then.
Where
then
did you get your data?
From other children. And,
indeed.
So, a while ago as I was walking down the walkway here, a mother and daughter were going, and the little daughter stood back and said, no! And the mother says, oh? She says, no! And so the mother says, oh, you want to be the leader? And the little girl said, yes! And so the mother had to wait while the little daughter came down the stairs after her pouting and got out in the front and led the mother where she wanted to go. And I think, there's the pendulum all the way off the other way. Now, the little children are handling the adults, I think, unfairly. Now, I know that's just what I see, but I see a lot. And I'd like you to discuss that, please.
The role of parenting has been misunderstood. Most of our physical friends, when they view parenting, they really think that what parenting means is guiding or controlling the life experience of another all the way from the beginning until the end. They do not recognize that it is just a fostering into, a sort of sponsoring into a new arena of life experience, you see. And so it is another subject, perhaps the subject, where the most focus upon lack is given. In other words, because every parent has at one time been a child, they are remembering the perspective of the child-parent, the relationship, and it is very difficult to separate yourself from the memories. And so from your vision of the way you were experiencing, most of you go about being parents from a position of what you know that you're never going to do. In other words, it is you remember all of the things that you didn't like, and you set out in your role as parents intending to not do it that way, which is a prime example of making your decisions from the position of lack. And so as a result, most do not have very positive experiences. In fact, most find that they have almost the identical relationship with their children that they had with their parents, because they are so focused upon the lack of what they did not like that it becomes their experience again. It is not a good idea for us, and we tend to do it as we are trying to cover very broad subjects in very short periods of time. It is not a good idea to throw a very large blanket over everything and say that it is always one way or another. So let us hear from you. What are your concerns or what are your desires regarding your relationship either with your parents or with your now children?
I'm going to begin my question with a story. Little girl is saying the Lord's Prayer. When she comes to the part where it says, "Forgive us our transgressions," she says, "Forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." That really hit home with me because in my perception, we do this from generation to generation. We take our belief that we have acquired from our parents, our culture, our school, and then we put those in our kids' baskets. We clear some that was put in our basket, then we put some in our kids' basket. They collect some more.
Are you saying to us that it turns out that you are rather influential one to another?
Yeah.
Especially in the parent-child relationships where there is much...
And become parents when we're so young and haven't come to understandings that we come to later in our life. I told my kids, related this story to them and said, when you become aware of trash that I have put in your basket, then let's work together on clearing it. And we have done some of that. But what I would like for you to speak to is perhaps techniques for doing this.
If you can establish a relationship with your children, now follow through with this for a moment, even if you are not in that situation where you have children in your experience right now, the exercise will be beneficial to you regarding other areas of your life experience. There is a tendency to want to be already knowledgeable about all subjects. When you go to work upon a new job, you really think that you must already know everything that there is to know about it. As you become a parent, you think that you must already know everything that there is to be about it. In other words, you demand understanding of yourself before you have had opportunity to gain the understanding. You really think as physical creatures that you can learn from books or that you can learn from words. And it turns out the only way that learning ever comes or that knowing ever comes is through life experience. And so as you are interacting as this new parent, if you could let your little one understand right from the beginning or from wherever you are standing right now, I do not have all of the answers, and I'm not going to pretend that I have all of the answers, but I do have some basic understandings, and these are the understandings that I have. And then express from your heart that which you are knowing from this perspective. In other words, I know that life is supposed to be fun. And I know that life will be a continual arena of new adventures and new decisions to be made. What happens with most parents is they are not willing to admit that they don't know. They are not willing to admit that they haven't had the experience that tells them what to do in this given situation. And so they try to cover up their feeling of inferiority or their feeling of incompletion by saying, "I do know. And the answer to this question is yes," or "the answer to this question is no." What happens to the child under those conditions is the child senses the reality of it. The child hears the words that are coming forth, but also this very sensing being senses that the block of thought that is behind it is not in harmony with the words that are being spoken. And so what you end up doing is fostering a child into the world that feels great confusion or great contradiction within the only source of guidance that he is at this point able to identify, which is his parent. And so at a very early age, he decides that his parent is not as smart as his parent thinks he is. That his parent does not have all of the answers, and he is justified in that acknowledgement because he has seen so much contradiction and so much confusion coming forth from the parent, you see. And so most of you at a very early age, you with your parents and you as parents with your children, get off on the wrong foot and then try to justify your out-of-balance position for the rest of your experience. What we would encourage is that you acknowledge that you do not have all of the answers, nor will you ever have all of the answers. You do not always know what to do. You do not always know what is the appropriate action. You do not even know what is appropriate to want in terms of having for yourself or for your children. But you do know what you are wanting to feel. And you do know what they are wanting to feel. And so if you are always seeking a place where you will feel good and where you can evoke good feelings from the other, then you will always be upon the path of having the right decisions come forth that are appropriate unto each of you, you see. We would encourage comments to one another such as, I don't have the answers, but I know that I want to be happy, and I know that I want you to be happy. But I acknowledge that it is not my role for you to be happy. These are decisions that you must make, you see. What do you think, as you are interacting, what is the greater subject that you are wanting to begin with? Are you wanting to talk about your relationship with your parents or your relationship with your children? Speak it out. Parents or children? Agreed? More of you are in a situation where you are wanting to understand your relationship with your parents. Let us begin there then. How do you feel about your parents? Positive or negative? Depends upon the subject that you are focused upon. Do you believe that your feeling about your parents has more to do with them or with you? Do you believe that you are able to perceive your parents now as they are, or do you believe that you keep dragging by the hair that which you've experienced in the past?
Past.
And we are hearing from you as you are speaking this that you are acknowledging that in your now, that it is not of great value to keep regurgitating the past. And so what is the best way to have a powerful, positive relationship with anyone, in this case your parent? By looking for what you are wanting to see, because that is the way that it evokes positive emotion within you. And so you are very accurate as you say it depends upon what she has just done. And we would say what it really depends upon is your reaction to what she has just done. And your reaction to what she has just done depends upon what you are wanting to experience. And so the real question is, how do you want to feel about your parents? Do you want to feel good, or do you want to continue to use them as the scapegoat for all of your failure? You are acknowledging that much of the world is wanting to give the credit for anything that is going wrong in their life to the parent. But this is a group of beings that are far beyond that. For you are understanding that your parents are not responsible for that which you are living. You are. But you are also acknowledging, we know you are, and you are wise in the acknowledgement, that they have been perhaps the predominant factor in influencing the way you think about most subjects. And so it is logical that you would continually make a connection between something your mother or your father or one of them said that has to do with the way that you are feeling about something now. Agreed? But then, would you say that those two people or one person, just in terms of numbers, have had a greater impact in your life than all of the other life experiences put together? And so what is the common denominator that has attracted the life experiences? It is you, isn't it? Yep. You as the magnetic attractor of your experience. And so is it easier for you to acknowledge that you are the evoker of the behavior of others, that maybe you had something to do with the influence that they were offering? And so it is our very strong encouragement that you let all of them off the hook, that you take them out of the arena of having any responsibility, and that you also take them out of the arena of caring very much what they think or feel about what you are doing. In other words, let them be insignificant others for now, while you give your attention to what is more important, which is your attitude about you and where you stand. That is the greatest encouragement that we can give you regarding bringing yourself to what you would term a healthy or happy position regarding your parents. Now let us talk about it. We'll get right to the nitty-gritty. You're wanting to speak?
It was a question.
Talk about anything you're wanting. We are not wanting to put you into a position where you are not wanting to speak what you feel because you know we will nail you to the wall.
My questions have to do with the mating more than the parenting.
Let us continue parenting for a bit. Anybody want to talk about it?
My childhood experience was my parents screamed and yelled and fought, and the children were hit, and I grew up with a core belief that the world was not a safe place, that really bad things could happen. And I went into therapy for 5 years to kind of confirm that, and it instilled in me that I was not responsible for what had happened to me, that I was a victim of two parents who were out of control. And one of the things that I am continuing to deal with is finding a way to allow them to be who they are now and me to be who I am now, and not always see them and blame them for me being afraid.
Good. It is a very powerful place for us to chew for a bit. The general mode that the therapist takes, or the doctor, is wanting to look to find what is wrong, because it is believed that until you know what is wrong, you can't fix it. And so you are encouraged to talk about very unpleasant, very uncomfortable situations in order to bring yourself to the point of identifying that you really are a good person. In other words, your therapist acknowledged that by virtue of what you lived, you did not like yourself very much. And the tendency with children who are part of an environment like that, where they are swept up in the negative emotion and find themselves crying or frightened, they literally evoke from their parents the behavior now directed at them. In other words, if you could have turned your attention from it, you would not have been part of the experience at all. They would not even notice that you were around. But as you see yourself right in the middle of it and are feeling the negative emotion of it very much, now you have invited yourself into the flurry of it, and now you are battered about just as they are battering one another about. As you feel the pain of that, the very common tendency is to now assume that you have done something wrong. Or at least that is the feeling. When somebody hits you, the feeling that you receive is, that person does not like me, because they wouldn't hit you if they liked you. And since they are now hitting me, there must be something wrong with me. I must have done something wrong that has evoked this negative feeling. And so it is very possible for you to carry that sort of feeling for a lifetime. Now, the therapists are very much not wanting you to blame yourself. And so they have, in what we see in a very extreme way, gone overboard by trying to absolve you from all responsibility, by trying to convince you that you have no power in this, you have no control in this, and it is from that sort of counseling that, of course, you are going to begin to feel vulnerable or very unsafe. In other words, if I have no control, if I had no responsibility in it, and there I was in a situation where I was being hit about, then I must be vulnerable still in this big world that has negative things that are out there. What we are wanting you to understand is that you have control, and that you had control even then. You just didn't know that you had it, and so you were unable to use it. But now you are understanding, and if you will think back upon it, you will be able to pinpoint even some very extreme situations where if you had been able to look at it differently, you would not have been swept up in the negative emotion. Now, were you hit as a very young child?
Well, probably from about age five.
Were you hit as a teenager?
Yes.
And can you recall the last time that you were struck?
Yes.
Was it by mother or father? And can you remember what you were doing at the time?
I don't remember what the argument was about.
But can you remember that you were in the position of defending your mother?
No.
What was the position?
It was over something that I had done, and I don't remember exactly what the circumstance was. I just remember my father coming over, getting up out of his chair and coming over and kicking me.
Now, at the time that you had aware that you had done it, can you recall, even before the kicking, what the emotion was within you?
Rage.
You were very angry. And in this mode of anger, it is very consistent that you would receive something that you are not wanting. Now, would you say that that rage was something that only happened in that moment? Or was there a lifetime before it in which it grew? And so in the continual living of life experience where you were continually having and literally tolerating negative emotion within you, can you now see that it was by virtue of the allowance of the negative emotion that you kept attracting the negative behavior unto you? And can you see now that had you understood pivoting, and had you understood the power of feeling good, that you would have spent a lot less time there, that either emotionally involved or physically involved? And so now you can recognize that you were co-creator in it. You see, as we are listening to you, and as we are listening to others listen to you, we feel them wanting to sympathize and empathize. We feel them wanting to say to you, that is a very sad thing. How unfortunate for you to have had that life experience. You are justified in your negative emotion. You have bad parents. That is what the world at large is wanting to say to you. They're wanting to agree with you that you were justified in your rage. And while we agree that you are justified in your rage, we also must acknowledge that even though you were justified, you are still messing up your experience by the allowing of it. If you are wanting a very important thing to pass on to your children, it is, when you don't feel good, do whatever you can to bring yourself to the place of feeling good. If it means take physical action, take it. If it means change the conversation, change it. If it means think a different thought, then think a different thought. But let your dominant intent be to be in a place where most of the time you are feeling good, and you will never be in that sort of a jam. Now, we know that as you are born into a family, it feels like you are without choice. It feels like you sort of just got dumped into a mess. And there is the tendency to really wish that you could have been dumped into a better mess, one that is not quite so messy or so painful. But we say you were deliberate in your decision to come forth into a very intense situation where you could find your strength, where you could acknowledge that good and bad abounds in everything. It is out there in the universe. It is out there in the world. It is out there in the city. It is out there even in my parents. And the sooner that I discover that as I look for what I'm wanting to see, that becomes more like my experience, the better. Now, how many times have you heard children say to each other, you were mother's favorite. You were the one that they liked better. In reality, your mother does like some of you more than others. Because some of you evoke more of a feeling of love and some of you evoke more of a feeling of hate. And the life experience that you live reflects what you are evoking, you see. Can you remember as you were growing up, feeling on how unfair it was? Can you remember comparing your life experience with somebody else's and feeling that you had come up short? And now can you see how those feelings and how your decision to focus in that direction was what was really responsible for the negative way that you were treated? Good. And so now do you feel out of control? Do you acknowledge that experience as a bad one? Or one that brought you to greater clarity?
Greater clarity.
Do you remember earlier today when we said to you, and so you are having negative experience. Is negative experience good or bad? Do you remember what you resoundingly shouted? It is good. And we said, why? And you said, because it is my guidance, showing me what I am wanting. And so what happened with you is, you had a rather long experience of negative emotion to help you identify very pointedly what you are wanting. And so we would say to you, if the experience of negative emotion is good, then whether it is a little bit of it or a lot of it, can you not still deem it as of value? And is that not a very good approach to letting your parents off the hook? Or of letting yourself off the hook? That it was all part of the process. And so now as you look at your parents, we know we are taking a long time regarding this question, but it is at the heart of the issue. Now, as you are looking at your parents, you have the option of acknowledging them acknowledging them in their now or remembering them as they have been. And the thing about remembering is that the tendency is to focus upon the bad part and bringing it forth. As you see them now, are they still living?
Yes.
And are you still interacting with them on occasion?
Yes.
Are they still fighting?
Yes.
Are they still hitting you?
No.
Are you still feeling pain for them?
When I'm with them and see the way they interact, yes.
Do you ever see them from a positive perspective?
Yes.
You acknowledge that some positive does exist. When you are apart from them, what do you find yourself pondering most? The negative past, the negative present, or the positive past and the positive present? The most. We know it is some of all of it, but what do you think is still dominant? We'll tell you. It is the negative. It is the negative past which leads into the negative now, and that is the reason that you are still feeling more pain regarding this relationship than anything else. And so all you have to do is apply this process that we've been talking about as you go to bed at night, leaving all of that behind. Waking up in the morning intending that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, to look for what you're wanting to see. And if you know that you will be seeing your parents later this week, begin at your first acknowledgement that you will be there, begin looking for what you're wanting to see even before you get there. Begin anticipating a pleasant experience. And as you walk into the room, your guidance system will tell you whether the probability is of getting what you want or getting the lack of it. And as you walk into the room and you feel negative emotions, say, I love you folks, but I only have a minute. I just stopped by to say hello, and now I must say goodbye, and off you go. Because your guidance is supreme. Your guidance will tell you they're in a bad state of mind, and no matter how positive you are right now, you're not going to have a good experience, so get out of there. And if you're listening to the way you feel, you will get out of there. And then as you're out of there, you will say, I want to have a good experience with my parents, and so I'm wanting to be guided into a situation where I can have a good experience with them. So all of a sudden, you will be sitting at home one evening, and you will get this impulse to call your parents. And you will call them, and they will be in a good frame of mind, and they will say, what are you doing? And you will say, what are you doing? And they will say, come and see us, and off you will go. And there you will spend a little time, and you will find it to be satisfying, because your guidance has pointed you in the direction and in the timing of that which you are wanting, you see. On the other hand, if you're sitting there, lamenting how rotten your past experiences with them have been, you will be inspired to call them right when they are in the middle of a drunken brawl. And you will say, things never change. Things are always the same with you. And we would say, no, things are always the same with you. You're thinking about that, and so you've attracted it into your now again, you see. You begin to define what sort of relationship you are wanting, and your inner being will guide you into it. And you will be the inspiration that will evoke it from the others. And instead of the chain of pain that you have been a part of all of these years, you will stand there as one who is knowing what you are wanting, and you will begin the inspiration in the other way. And maybe it will be enough to turn them around, and maybe it won't. But it will be enough for you to experience more of what you are wanting. As you're interacting with others, we hear some of you talking about the same person. Now, we're not talking about you here. We're talking about physical beings in general. We will see one acknowledging someone as someone who should be tarred and feathered or hanged at sunrise because he is so despicable. And someone else will be seeing him as a saint. Same person. It is just that the different perspective is evoking different things forth, you see. Quite a mouthful, we understand.
Abram, did you say that a child of 1, 2, 3, 4 years old is responsible?
We did.
For, well, I completely disagree with that.
You are wrong.
Actually. Well, let's speak a bit then, because I was brought up in a house like that where father was yelling, terrifying everyone, parents fighting. I have the feeling, I realize, as if I was left in a mad train, abandoned in a mad train, in a storm, destructive. And do you check that when you are 9 months old?
You do?
No. How is it possible? No, because which means has got a little being like that to reject, for example, the food a mother is stuffing in her mouth? Which, for example, which means does such a child dispose of to reject that?
Let us ask you some questions.
Yes.
We are enjoying very much this interaction. Do you believe that the child of 9 months old is new to life experience? In other words, this is his first encounter with life experience? Or do you believe that this physical expression is new, but that it is a much older being that is having this expression?
I don't know if the child of 9 months old is aware.
When you emerge into your physical body, is it your first emergence, or have you been banging around in physical experience for a very long time?
Very long time.
And so from broader perspective, you have much more insight than what your physical time would indicate. Another question for you. Do you believe that the baby who is not yet able to verbalize, to say, I want this or I don't want that, do you think that baby is able to think?
Yes, to sense, to feel.
And so he's not thinking in words, and that's the way most of you think thinking is. You think thinking is thinking in words, when thinking is really sensing, as you say. Thinking is the receiving of block of thought. In other words, when you walk into this room, if you've never heard the word warm, but you walk into the room and you feel that the room is warm, would you not formulate the block of thought that means warm to you, whether you heard the word or not? Mm-hmm. And so the point that we are wanting you to understand is that all of you, from your first day of emergence into this physical body, are very powerful receivers of blocks of thought. Now, we are not saying that as you are this 9 month or this 1 month or this 1 week being, that you are deliberately issuing thought. What we are saying is you are responding to the thought that is around you, and your response to the thought is what equals your experience. Now, many of you would say, well, then it isn't fair. It isn't fair for me to be born into a block of thought that is painful and ugly when this little princess over here is born into a block of thought where she is loved. And we say, you must remember that you were a very powerful intender before you decided to emerge. And you did not say, let me go forth into that which will be the easiest set of circumstances. You said, I want physical life experience. I want understanding. Let me go forth and I'll figure my way as I go. And so off you went. It was by virtue of the set of intentions and beliefs that you held prior to your emergence that you ended up in that certain situation. You are a teacher. And you are wanting to assist others in understanding that they are the creators and the controllers of their life experience. And what better way than to have lived something that you did not like and then bring yourself to the understanding of how it kept coming as long as you kept focusing upon it, and then discovering how you now bring to yourself what you do like, you see. We are not saying that we approve of or think it is a good idea for children to be traumatized or terrorized, for we do not. We are uplifters as you are, but we do acknowledge that there is not a better way for you to remind yourselves how important it is to be uplifters and to feel upliftment than to have experienced some of the opposite of that. That is the way you define what it is you are wanting. But in this world that claims to be sympathetic and helpful, they hold you into that negative position all of your experience. You keep talking about it. You keep struggling about it. You keep rationalizing about it. You keep blaming it. You keep justifying all of the bad things in your life today based upon something bad that happened 20 or 30 or 40 years ago. And we say, at what point are you going to decide that you are the attractor of your experience? You couldn't do it at 9 months. Could you do it at 2 years? Could you do it at 20 years? Could you do it at 30 or 40 or 50? Or are you going to be as most and die and never acknowledge that it is me that is the attractor of my experience, you see? And so that is why we are a little stuffy or a little stubborn when you disagree.
because we say if it is not your attracting or your power to attract when you are 9 months, then it isn't at 90 years either. And we cannot acknowledge that. There is only one attractor unto you, and that is you. Absolutely.
I'd like to comment. As a kid, a little child, my mother particularly used to beat me. I mean, really beat me, like tie my hands and feet and put a gag in my mouth and beat me. But my little brother, she never beat. And so I thought that is really unfair through those early years. But then once I became an adult and I looked back and I realized she wasn't that wicked, it must have been something I was evoking from her, because if she was that wicked, she'd been beating John and Jesse too, not just me. And so I looked, and teachers that used to chase me out of the classroom the minute I'd walk in, just make me go sit in the hall, but the other teachers want me to come and have dinner with them at home. They love me so much. So somewhere along the way, I realized I was doing something, bringing things out of people somehow that...
You are a freedom-seeking being. And in the moment that you emerged, you were a freedom-seeking being. And the first time your mother said no to you, you said yes. And the second time your mother said no to you, you said yes. And every time she said don't, you said yes. Every time she said don't do that, you said I will do that. It is no wonder that she tied you up to a tree. The freedom seeker within you was so powerful, and your mother was concerned about your safety. She was concerned about the way you would fit into society. She was concerned about all of the things that parents are concerned about. She did not acknowledge that the freedom seeker in you was a very powerful and very important quality. Because most of you, when you see others seeking their freedom, are afraid that their seeking freedom will infringe upon you, you see. Because you have not yet learned that you do not live in one big world, one big clump. It is a bunch of individual worlds that all just happen to be sharing the same time and dimension and space, you see. When you understand that another, no matter how wicked or how close he is, cannot get into your experience unless you acknowledge it, once you understand that, then you are truly free. We know that as little children, and we know that there are many children that are right now, even as we speak, being treated what we, by our standards, would be improperly. And so we have two options. We can focus upon that and we can worry about it, and we could add power to the thing that they do not want, which is what they are doing. Or we can recognize that at one point or another, they will come to the clear understanding that they have an option of focusing upon what they are not wanting or what they are wanting. Have any of you had the experience? We've heard it from our friend here, and maybe others of you have experienced it. Have you had the experience where you experienced something negative for so long, and you weren't strong enough, you didn't know that you could just walk away from it. Other beliefs held you right in the mess of it. And so you experienced it and struggled within it and suffered within it so long that you reached the place where you just physically could not endure anymore. And you said, I give up. I can no longer fight it. I can no longer resist it. You win. You are bigger and badder and stronger than I am, so have your way. If you've ever reached that point, it is a very powerful point, because what that point is the point of no longer resisting. It is the point of no longer struggling with the tar baby, the point of no longer having your hands and feet and head stuck in this gooey mess. It is the point of saying, I give up. And at that point of giving up, you have stopped your resistance. You've stopped your struggle. You've stopped your focus. And it goes away, usually in the moment of your giving up. And then you awaken and you say, I'm still alive. I endured that. I let it win, and now it is gone. Now what do I want? And now you make a clearer decision. Now what we are saying to you is you don't have to hit rock bottom before you make another decision. You can let just a little bit of negative emotion let you know that you're on your way to something you don't want, so you can pivot earlier. But somebody who hasn't learned to pivot, somebody that doesn't know that you can choose the positive, not the negative, who suffers and suffers and suffers and suffers, sometimes it has to get pretty bad before your survival instincts come forth within you. But always they will come forth, because you are eternal beings. things can't get so bad that you will cease to exist. You are eternal beings, you see. You are creatures who are so much wanting to experience the power of the positive that even the slightest negative is very discouraging to you. And so we can imagine how those of you who chose to be born into experiences that were less than what you would consider to be the optimum experience would stand in absolute shock in the beginning that anyone could treat anyone the way your parents are treating one another. As you hear the pain, you don't understand the words, but you're getting the clear message through the tones and through the emotion that is oozing out of them, you see. We know that it is not easy for you to envision a baby being smart enough to follow his bliss. But we say, watch them a little more closely. Watch the little ones. Watch their natural instinct to get what they want. Watch them call you to feed them. Watch them call you to change them. Watch them tenaciously focus upon what they are wanting. The little ones are clearer about it than you are. If you have had a painful experience in your past, release it to the past. Because if you do not release it, it will remain in your now. Are you the creator or the attractor of your experience?
Yes.
Have you always been?
Yes.
When you were a baby?
Yes.
And even now?
Yes.
When you were a baby, did you have some experiences that were not necessarily what you would choose for a baby?
Yes.
Did experiencing what you did not want help you to be clear about what you do want?
Yes.
And so can your experience as a child with a parent be of absolute benefit now as you are a parent with a child?
Yes.
Or with any other? Are negative experiences bad?
Yes.
Should negative experiences continue to bring forth pain into your life forevermore? Or can they be used as the catalyst to get you focused upon what you are wanting?
Yes.
And so we say, those of you who have had the most miserable of life experiences, you are in the position to know the most about the subject. But now you must make the decision to look for the positive aspect in all that you have lived. And there are positive aspects even in the negativest of that which you've experienced, but you must look for it. We believe that you are powerful enough, focused enough, strong enough, determined enough to look into the past experience and see the value. Do you? What is the time? That is the end of the time. We've enjoyed very much this interaction. We are complete.
Thank you.
Hello there. This has been a full day.